And some of y'all know about the Speedwell. The Mayflower originally wasn't the only boat. And all of these things come down to where these people finally get on a boat and they come at 1620. They landed on what we now know as Plymouth Rock, which is they named it, I think it was John Smith actually called it Plymouth. These people, led by a guy named William Bradford, before they disembarked from the vessel, because through some coincidence, all of the paperwork for a governing charter had not been done. So before they got off the boat, they said they needed to do that. So they drew up what we call the Mayflower Compact. This is like a covenant. They laid out what they were going to do, why they were going to do it, and what they expected from it. And here's the way it starts. In the name of God, amen. That's how it starts. These people were serious. They came here, they were serious about God. They were serious about preaching the gospel. They were tired of all the oppression and the restriction and the regulation and the corruption involved in the church. And they were willing to risk everything they had to come here and do it right because of liberty. It was conceived in liberty. They wrote that, and I'm going to quote this, having this voyage, okay, quote, having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Okay? That's the covenant. That's the compact. That's the agreement. It was a bedrock of what became our nation. We have committed this to God. We've come here for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith. Let's fast forward some. We can come to the Declaration of Independence. We all are very familiar with it, 1776. Okay? And this document, people now have no clue. It was one of the most exceptional things where it says that all men are created equal. That was a new thought. And they were endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. Unalienable. Government didn't give these rights to these people. God did. And that alone made this nation very different than anything anybody had known before, okay? These rights and privileges came from God. All men are created equal, endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. You can't get them out because they're God. Okay? And that among them are life and liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And we've done classes with the school for years. Pursuit of happiness was a combination kind of thing. The Lockean, John Locke, idea was based firmly on private property. Private property. The pursuit of happiness meant that you owned property and you could do with it whatever it was you saw fit that made you happy. Whatever God put in your heart to do, everything that you owned, you could do, you could use it for that. And the most important part of that concept is, what's the first thing you own? Yourself. That's exactly right. Private property starts with you. You own you. And then everything that you own is your property. And the pursuit of happiness doesn't mean go out and just do whatever you feel like. Pursuit of happiness means taking who you are and what you are and pursuing what you believe God's telling you to do or instructing you to do, what you see to do. This document was phenomenal. Move forward a little bit more. You're into 1787 with our Constitution. And in the preamble of the Constitution, it begins, we the people. Okay? Not a government. We the people. Say we the people. Y'all all know that, right? We the people. Don't forget what we're talking about. Jesus said, I'm going to take the kingdom from you and give it to a ethnos. Is it a nation? Is it people that will produce the fruit of it? Its fruit. Okay? We the people, in order to form a more perfect union. Not a perfect union, but a more perfect union. And then it goes on to talk about how we're going to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our prosperity, our posterity. That's our constitution. And as of now, we are the longest running democratic republic constitutional form of government in the world. In spite of all that's gone on, in spite of all of the attempts of the enemy to destroy it. Now, we're going to back up a few years. That was 1787, right? We're going to back up to 1752 and look at something called the Liberty Bell. Okay? Around here, from our conception, we used to have our logo over there, had a tree. And that tree, people didn't know, that's called the Liberty Tree. And we used the bell in the beginning as well. The Liberty Bell was commissioned and forged in 1752. It was actually forged in England. They brought it here. They put it in the Philadelphia State House. And when they rang it, what happened? It cracked. It cracked. I didn't know till recently, they didn't just recast the bell once. They actually recast the bell twice. But the problem is the tin alloy that they used was too brittle, okay? So they cast the bell twice. It made it through a few ringings, and then it cracked again. And they recast it again, and it happened again. So finally, they semi-retired the bell. They only used it on special occasions. But the most important thing about this bell was what they asked to be inscribed on it. It says, to proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. That was what this group of men in 1752 wanted to have engraved into their state house bell in Philadelphia, to proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof. That's Leviticus 25:10. Okay? That is the instruction for the execution of Jubilee, the 50th year.